So thank you, Lord, for your word that comes through today so beautifully, and ask, Lord, that we may stand under your word and understand it and be drawn more deeply into your heart for this world of ours. We praise you and bless your name. Many starting points, but maybe the starting point could be simply to assure you that it's never too late. It's never too late for you to hear the call of the Lord on your life, to hear the call of the Lord to you personally, inviting you, calling you, almost commanding you to share in his mission and to enter into the vineyard of the Lord, which really is the world at large. All of us are already living in the world. But the call of the landowner, we heard just there, at different times, different hours in the day, he comes out with an urgent cry. He comes out because there's work to be done. They have to get the grapes in quickly, because otherwise they go off. And so he needs laborers to do the work. And so he comes in the early hours of the morning, and there's men there, and he says, come, you know, there's work to be done. Come into the vineyard. And then he comes to another hour, and again, he invites them into the vineyard. And further on, right through until the 11th hour. And then again, he invites them to come. Why are you standing here idle? Why are you standing idle when there's work to be done? And come into the vineyard. My dear friends, I'm not sure how your life is unfolding, but one thing I am sure of is when Jesus gazes upon you, whoever you are, that he sees his precious one. He sees the one who has been created in the image and likeness of God. He sees that you are very significant to him, that you are unique and irreplaceable, a person with wonderful potential, and that he would stand before you and call you. He'd call you in a particular way that's particular to you, that only you will know how he calls you. But he'll call you to work in his vineyard. That's what he does. And sometimes people have been sort of lingering around in the marketplace for a long time, and then he comes. Of course, he can come at different phases in our life too, and maybe those different hours can represent different phases. And so he can come in your youth and call you to a particular way of sharing in the mission of Jesus, the mission of the church. He can come at a later time in your life, when you've got your family and your kids and all that sort of thing, and call you again in a different way. Then he can come sort of later again, when you've got the kids off your hand, and the calling comes again. But call he will. He is constantly calling us. And when Pope John Paul II wrote his apostolic letter to the laity, he interpreted the parable this way. He said that every lay person needs to have the heart open to the calling of the Lord. And the way in which he's going to invite you to share in his work in bringing in the harvest of the vineyard. Because you see, the harvest is ripe. There needs to be laborers. There needs to be workers who will take up their role in whatever their role is. Because each of us has, as it were, a patch that, if we listen to his call, a patch of the vineyard that we can actually harvest. If we listen to him, if we're attentive to how he's leading us, Because each of us has a sphere of influence. We have our families and our workplace, and we have the study place where maybe we study if we're students. We have our profession, you know, we have our recreational activities. All of us have a sphere of influence. And there in that place, whatever that is for you, you will hear the gentle prodding of the Lord inviting you to have an impact, to be his witness within the world today. And for some, it's going to mean he'll invite you to speak his word. For others, you'll be invited to be an advocate for the truth in a world that has lost truth. Because you believe so strongly in family life, then you'll stand for the truth of family life in public life, in the society, in the political arena. For some of you will just be chatting over things at work, and you'll find the call to witness, to speak, when previously you might have been silent. And some of you will find an increase in courage to be able to do this as you respond to the grace of the call of the owner of the vineyard, who is wanting every person in the world to come to know his saving love, as we have come to know. And it's his heart that each of us would be drawn to him first, come to know him intimately and closely and personally. And then out of that experience of the Lord and our love for him, we can't help but share it with others, this good news. And there's an urgency about the owner of the vineyard wanting the laborers to come. And there's an urgency in the world today, is there not? I feel it in my spirit very strongly these days. I get around a fair bit now. My job seems to take me around a bit. And I get in touch with a lot of people. And these days I find myself again and again on healing lines, just with people coming and opening up the depth of pain in their hearts, because we're in a dislocated society. It's a society where so many people are hurting deeply because relationships have broken down at all levels. We don't seem to know how to bring it back together again. We're fractured deeply. And people are hurting right down inside, even though they might dress up and look really good and glamorous. But get underneath that exterior and you see just the damage, the terrible brokenness that we're all suffering from in one way or another. And where is the hope? Where is the hope in their lives? Well, we know the hope is found in Jesus. Now, it says, doesn't it, in Scripture, that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's in Jesus we find our hope. But then it goes on to say, but how will they call upon the name of the Lord, who will draw near to the brokenhearted? How will they know to call upon the name of the Lord if they don't have faith? And how will they have faith if they don't hear the gospel, the good news? And how will they hear the word of God unless they get someone to proclaim it to them? And how they get a preacher unless someone is sent? I'm sending you. Go to your sphere of influence. Ask the Lord to show you. Allow his call upon you, his unique call upon you, not on the person next to you, but upon you. His unique call. Allow that call to echo in your heart and find the response that is your unique response, whatever that may be, that in today's world you'll make a difference. You'll have an impact. Not because of you, but because of Christ within you. That you will be his witness, as he sent you to be. You will be my witnesses, not only in Judea and Samaria, but indeed until the ends of the earth. You'll be the witness of the Lord. It's a precious thing, isn't it? But it does take a lot of faith and a lot of courage. But it's interesting, John Paul II, in that letter to all of us, and especially to you, the lay people, he says it's not permissible to remain idle. And elsewhere, in Redemptoris Missio, the letter on mission, he said also that it's now a special moment in history. He says, and it's no longer possible for any individual in the Catholic Church or any institution in the Catholic Church to avoid the supreme duty of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. It flows from our baptism, folks. It flows from who we are. We are born for this. We are reborn into Christ, into this, the life of the Spirit, so that we'll be his witnesses. But of course we're afraid, are we not? We're afraid to really be his workers in the vineyard in this way. We're afraid that we'll be rejected. We're afraid that somehow other people will laugh at us and ridicule us. And they might too. But remember, that's happened before in history. Never before, maybe, in the history of the church does the church need lay people to stand up and be counted. Yes, the clergy must do that too. But in these days particularly, it's a moment where the clergy in many ways can't do it. We need you to be the witnesses to the truth in all of your spheres of influence. This is so important right at this moment in the church's history. When we go back to the apostolic times, remember Peter and John? They were preaching fiery sermons and then they were brought before the synagogue and the officials of the time were astounded, we're told, at their boldness, because they were just fishermen. They were uneducated laymen. I'm not saying you're uneducated, but they were uneducated laymen. They had nothing to bring, it seemed. But God used them because of his Spirit within them to be his witnesses. And he needs that today. He needs it strongly today. And I'll tell you a story of Hannah Hernard, who wrote a few books. But she was a daughter of a Protestant pastor. And she grew up with deep fears. She feared spiders and snakes and those sort of things. But she also feared people. She feared open spaces. She was just full of fear. But to make things worse, she had a stutter. She couldn't speak well. And so at the age of 18, she decided that God didn't exist because of the deal that he'd given her. But then her father enticed her into coming to a place where they were giving witnesses about things that had happened in the Christian missions. And so she heard these witnesses and something touched her. She went back home and she thought, well, I'll try the Bible roulette. So she opened up her Bible, just let it fall open. And it fell on Kings. And she thought, there's nothing in Kings. And then she saw where her finger was. It was talking about the sacrifice that Elijah made on Mount Carmel. And she knew in that moment that God was asking her to make a sacrifice of her tongue to him and of her whole being. And the thought came to her, I'd rather be in hell. But then she thought, but I'm already in hell. And she thought, I may as well give it a go. So she did. And she just simply invited God to take her life. And she said from that moment, from the top of her head, right through her whole body, she was just filled with this presence of God, filled with the love of God. just overflowing. And it's the first time she'd really experienced the Lord. Now she got so excited because she'd experienced the love of God, she wanted to tell everyone about it. So she went and told her dad. She said, "I want to go to Bible school and learn how to preach the gospel." She forgot she had the stutter. So she gets to the Bible college and she finds out in the first week that she's rostered to give the first homily, as it were. Well, the first little preaching. It wasn't a homily, the first little preaching. And then she realized the stutter. And she's mortified and thought, "I can't possibly do it." And so she's packing her bags to leave. And as she's leaving, she gets this sense of a word into her heart. And the word was from St. Paul, where Paul says, Paul hears the Lord say to him, "Now my grace is enough for you. My power is at its best in weakness." And so she stayed, but she was still terrified. And so the Wednesday morning came when she had to get up and give this talk. And she was riveted to the seat. She couldn't get herself off the seat because she thought, "This would be the most terrible moment of my whole life, the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me." So finally she pushed herself up and she struggled to the podium and she began to speak. And there was no stutter. And she spoke beautifully. And the theme she took is, "My grace is enough for you. My power is at its best in weakness." So we will feel weak and we'll feel quite inadequate to be witnesses in today's world. When I think of the force and the power of the secular agenda that's being perpetrated at the moment at all levels of our society to strip every last vestige of Christianity away from all our social and political institutions, and I think, how can we even get started? But we must. We must be prepared to witness. We must be prepared to speak in the spheres of influence that are ours, given by God to speak in to. Yes, it will need courage. I tell you another story. Working in the vineyard is hard, isn't it? And it's laborious. And sometimes you come home feeling it was useless. But it's never useless when you stand for the Lord. Because when you stand up for Jesus, he stands up with you and for you and in you and through you. He is powerful. The story. This happened in the border of Colombia and Venezuela. There was a priest about to celebrate Mass in a little church there in the jungle. And the people had come from different locations out of the jungle for the Mass. And the church was full. And all of a sudden, just before he started, bursting out of the jungle was a group of guerrillas, group of soldiers. Not the other gorilla, soldiers. And with big the guns and all that sort of stuff. And they burst into the church. And they say to the priest, "You're a believer in Jesus Christ. Outside." And the congregation is petrified. And then they hear gunshots. And now they know what's happening. And then the leader of the guerrillas comes back in. He says, "Anybody else believe in this Jesus stuff?" Well, there's no one moves. He says, "Get out here. If you believe in the Jesus stuff, come out here." And one guy gets up and he comes out and he says, "I've always believed in Jesus Christ. And I'm ready to die for him." And they drag him out and there's gunshots. "Anyone else believe in this Jesus stuff?" There's a few more people come out too. And now they're all out here. About 10 of them. And the others are stuck to their seats. And they go out and there's gunshots. And then the guerrilla leader comes in and he says, The rest of you here, you're not worthy to be here. Get out. And they file outside and they find the priest and the others still alive out there. And the gorilla says, you ones can come back in because you're the true believers. You're worthy to celebrate the Mass. How would you go if it happened tonight? That courage to stand when all the odds seem to be against us. You know, Paul had it, didn't he? We've heard it in the second reading. He's writing from prison because of the gospel. He'd been put in prison. He was a dangerous person to the Roman Empire because the Roman Empire was going to eventually fall because of what he was preaching. They put him in prison. And he's writing to his friends. And he says, I'm in these chains and I don't know what's going to happen next. They may put me to death. But whether I'm alive in the body, I'll give glory to God. Or whether I die, I'll give glory to God too. He says, life to me is Christ. And to die, well, I die in Christ, and that's gain too. So I don't know which one I prefer, to stay here and give glory to him in my body through the sufferings I'm undergoing, or whether to die. But whether I'm alive or dead, I belong to the Lord anyway. You see, that's the faith that we need today. To be able to take the church forward in a new way. And to be able to, for the faith to be proclaimed in truth in this country with real courage, real fortitude, with nothing to lose, really, except our lives. But then we gain eternal life. We gain fullness of life with God forever. So yes, there is a call, and whatever stage of life you're at, the Lord would be calling your heart, because you're not insignificant to the plan of God. And his purpose in bringing the truth and bringing the message of the good news of God's great love to the hurting people of our day. Because most are deeply hurting. And most are in need of the message of hope and peace that can only come in Jesus Christ. And we are the bearers of that in a mysterious way. And so he will call you. He'll touch your heart and he'll show you ways that will surprise you and open up to you God-given opportunities where you can be his witness. So let's pray for one another that this Eucharistic celebration, that we will be worthy to celebrate, huh? That we'll be worthy of the celebration, because we're going to actually live and proclaim what we celebrate here. In whatever way that means for you, and it'll be different for each one of us, but the Lord will show you. And we trust him. And never forget his deep love for you personally, and that you have a purpose, you have he has a plan for your life whereby you will have a deep impact in some way or another on the course of events around you, because you have lived, others too will live. Because you have lived, others will have hope. Because you have lived, others will find the way forward. Because you have lived, you'll have made a great difference. And bless his name.